Hey, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up for me? Hey, sweet baby, don't you think maybe we could find a
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the first ever episode of Cookin' Fish. This is your first host, Barry Baruti, and today I'm joined with Pastor Don.
Yeah, Donnie, yeah.
Pastor Donnie from Grace by Faith Church in Englewood, Florida.
Amen, yeah.
And we have Fish and Frank here as well.
Yeah. Oh, boy, everybody's so excited about that one.
Chef Frank is in the house.
Yeah, I got two sticks. My family troglodyte, we make fire.
Well, hey, we want to jump into this because we might need a lot of time. We got a 30-minute show today, and so we're going to hit this off. We're going to be targeting some mangrove snapper. It's a beautiful fish. Our target area is somewhere between 12 and 17 inches. That's about the size you want to go after. Whether you're out deep in the Gulf, whether you're up next to the docks, whether you're in the pass, wherever you're at, if you're going to talk to these fish, you're looking for the mangrove snapper. It's a beautiful fish. It's a lot of fun to catch. Light rod, light tackle, and go after it. What do you got for them, Barry?
I was going to say, with these mangrove snapper, the beauty about them is you can catch them. They're available for everybody. You can catch them both inshore. You can catch them offshore.
Yep.
From a pier, from a boat, in a canal, on a dock.
On a dock behind people's houses.
Out 50 miles in the Gulf.
Yes.
So every place you go, you can catch mangrove snappers.
Exactly. And I was going to say, Pastor D, what's your favorite way of catching them?
Well,
what's the most basic way?
We have a lot by our dock. We have, we live out on the water. So we go out by the dock. We have a very light line that we use. It's a 20-pound test.
Yeah, 20-pound, okay.
A 20-pound test, one or two-aught hook, something very small, something simple to get in their mouth. We use a lot of shrimp. We love using shrimp. They attack it pretty quick. You get it in the water, they're going to hit it quick. It's a nice little pull to get back in. It's a lot of fun to bring it back in. They come in a lot of shapes and sizes. We don't want to go too big. We don't want to go too small. But, I think the regulation right now, today, is 2019 in July. I think it's 10 inches,
That. But
I like bigger. I like to go a little bit bigger for that meat.
Yeah, that 10-inch one, if you're out in a survival situation, yep. Fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
If you're not trying to survive, no, I'd wait and get a 12-inch.
Yep, exactly.
Silver sides, these little tiny kind of yellow silver-sided bait fish, mm-hmm. Probably the number one canal bait for mangrove snapper.
Really?
If I'm using a shrimp, I thread the shrimp on the hook. I start off casting it down with a hook either in the head or in the tail.
Right.
And then as soon as it gets bit, they're either going to bite wherever the hook's not.
Exactly.
If you've got them hooked through the head, they're going to bite the tail. You got them hooked in the tail, they're going to bite the head. So what I do is once I get one or two of them to bite, now they got kind of freebies on me.
Yep.
I've been hooking them through the head, and chances are they've been stealing the tail off. Now I go through and I start at the tail of the shrimp, thread the hook through the tail so the point comes out on the side where the legs are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now the whole shank and the eye of the hook are hidden. The eye of the hook's hidden in the tail. The shank of the hook's hidden in the meat, so just that point's out there. They're not seeing that big old hook sticking out now,
yep.
So they go to grab it in the middle because, well, they don't know which end you put the hook in, so
right.
Now I got it in the middle, but yes. It's hid there.
Yep.
So when, boom, they get it, I got them.
Gotcha. And that's a really good tip.
Yeah, that's why I like using that clear 20-pound line, just because it's small. You don't have no weight on there. I usually do a lot of line tie. I don't like to use a swivel on there. I like line to line on that.
Less terminal tackle is what you're saying. You don't like to use a swivel to connect your main line to your leader. Just do a double uni or like a surgeon's knot to connect your main line to your
anything to take away the visibility of what they're going to see down there. And you catch quite a few of these, and they taste pretty good.
Oh yeah.
So
after you catch them, your preferred, even though the legal size is around 10 inches, you pref- you prefer to start keeping them around 12.
Yeah, Evan asked a question. I want something thick and hardy. I want something that looks like it's got
you
some
see
meat
the
to
size
it.
Of this guy? Big like Godzilla.
My wife, you know, my wife's Filipino. She doesn't want to throw back a minnow. Everything's food to her, okay? Yeah. I don't care if it's an inch. She says, we can eat that. And I was like, whoa, slow your roll. We want something a little bit bigger, something we can put some meat on, because I want to fillet these. Exactly. I do not want to leave the bones on it. I want to take that off. I want to take the one side and fillet it. I want to leave the skin on the other side. I am going to scrape the skin. Okay.
Now, so when you go to do your fillet on a mangrove snapper, you cut down behind the head, cut to the tail, flip it over. You cut it off there. You don't cut the meat off the skin?
Right. What I do is when I catch this bad booger, what I want to do is if I know I'm going to keep it. Okay?
Right. First of all, before we even say what we're going to do with the fish, I want you to state, Pastor D, what is going to be the recipe and how you're going to cook this fish.
Okay. We're going to call this Roman Esco. It's an Italian seasoning.
Can you say that one more time? I've
Roman
never heard
Esco.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I learned this while I was in Sicily. It's a really good seasoning. It's got a little spice to it. Not too bad. Just a little bit of spice. It's got great flavor. It'll pop. You're going to be using some olive oils and this and that. We'll get into that in a minute. But
and you have a heavy influence. Well, because this is the first episode, I feel like everybody needs to know that you have a big culinary history.
Yeah.
And that's where this is not just something you do on the side. This you were a chef at one point.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call me a chef. I guess I'm, what do you call it?
Over easy up. Slam them and stab them. Put them on the side here, boys.
I have literally trained with lots of chefs because I do love the art of cooking.
Uh-huh.
I would be far cry from a chef, but I tell you what, we can certainly turn some heads in any kind of restaurant we go in to throw
these
out.
But you still got me all wound up. Now, you've got this fish here.
Yep.
Do you scale it before you cut the fillets off?
Definitely. What I like to do is I like to prepare everything like I'm getting ready to eat it, because I want this as
fresh
as can be.
So when you bring it up on the boat, now, do you do anything to it while you're on the boat, or do you wait till you get home?
If I'm on a boat and I'm far away, from the house, what I like to do is just put them in a locker, put them on ice, a little bit of water.
Okay.
Okay? Not just straight ice. I don't want to freeze my fish. I just want to have it in a mix.
You make like a slush in the cooler with ice and water, put the snapper in there.
Exactly. Okay.
So now we're back at the house.
Now we get back to the house. The first thing I do is I rinse them off real good.
Okay.
I want to get them clean. Then I want to gut them. I take all the guts out of it, miscellaneous stuff. Then I want to scrape them.
Before you gut them, like, what's the best way you gut the snapper? How do you do it?
I like to go from the tail back to the head.
Okay.
I like to go up through it, clean all the cavities out, get all that miscellaneous stuff out. Now, you can take some of the roux. If you like the roux, you can eat some of the roux if you catch some of that. Some people like to mess around with the heart. Like in the Philippines, they like to play around with the heart, the liver. Fish has got some great eating inside there.
You
take that cavity out. Get all that done, and then I take the outside and I just back scratch it. Okay?
You go from the
tail to the head.
Okay.
Are you using an old fashioned fish scaler, like just a piece of metal?
No.
Are you using
just my knife?
You just take the back of your knife and run it up.
Yep.
I don't use the front edge. I usually use the back edge of the knife and scrape with.
Do you use
the front edge?
I use the front edge. I like using the front edge. Now, you could cut yourself, so you got to be careful. But I've done this most of my life with all kinds of fish. I have a particular knife that I like to use. It's kind of my hunting fishing knife. I've had it for years and years. And so what I do is I start at the tail, and I keep it wet. That's the idea. Anytime it gets dry, I'll put it back over in the sink and keep it wet, and I just back scratch it, okay?
All right, now, are you holding like the knife at like a 90-degree angle, so you're just kind of dragging it across?
More like about 70, 75.
Or are you letting it pull across, or do you have that point toward kind of in the direction you're going, the edge of the knife?
That's right. Yeah,
so
and it's kind of, I call it chucking. So
you're
kind of
actually
almost
cutting the scales off.
You're flipping them.
You're flipping them up.
Yeah, what you're doing is as you bring the knife towards you, because I start away from me, I come back toward me the way I'm holding the fish. What I do is I like to roll my wrist. So
you're going like little half circles towards the head.
Right.
From the tail of the fish towards the head and little half circles to pop the scales off.
Now you've got all the scales off the side of the fish.
Yep, both sides.
And what you're doing is you go behind the head and go down to the backbone and turn your knife and go towards the tail?
Well, not yet. You would think that would be the easy part.
Okay.
What I'm going to do now is 12, 17 inches, depending on where you're at, I want to make some slits, probably 3 to 4 slits with my knife, same knife, after I rinse them off. I'm going to make slits from the top fin,
fin. From the dorsal fin.
Down to the belly, okay? So I'm going to strike that coming down. And I'm going to make three or four of those.
You're making like four scores.
That's right. On this, three on to a, four scores. Okay. You don't have to go crazy deep, but you want to score it. And then I'm going to start by the head. I'm going to go down to the skeleton, and I'm just going to slide my knife straight back. And then once I get back there to the back, cut that tail off, and I've got my fillet ready to go. It's right. ready now, to cook right there.
So what you've slabbed them out. I don't call that filleting because you still got the ribs in there, and you still got the skin on it.
The ribs are inside the fish. I'm taking the ribs out. The ribs gone. When I fillet it back, it's gone.
Okay, so you got no bones in this?
No bones.
So in order for me to get no bones, I got to go like it from by the dorsal fin top of the fish, and I work the meat off the ribs.
Yep.
And then I come towards the back.
Yeah, you kind of work it at an angle, coming back like this, and then you'll come back behind that rib cage.
So on this, we don't want any bones in it.
Yep, no bones.
Okay,
if you have one when you get back home, you can kind of weed it out, but it's not going to be very many that you head into.
Yeah.
But the idea is just kind of score it back, almost like a V cut. Okay, almost like you're playing around with a catfish. You come back like this, cut down, and then just slide it straight back to the back.
Right. So we've now, got the basically
skin
this
is
nice,
very important. Okay?
This nice tail section.
Yeah.
Of meat.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a beautiful piece of meat. Beautiful piece of fillet.
I was going to say, to get to where we were, just to do a brief, big picture recap. There's a lot of details in there. First, we catch a fish that has some girth to it.
Yep.
As Pastor D likes to have it. And then you put it straight in a cooler, like in a slush.
Yep.
Cold ice and water. Take it home, nice and firm. You dry it off. You take your knife, work your way back to the head of the fish, doing like half circles to remove all the scales.
Yep.
Once you do that, you do about three or four scores down the snapper's side.
Right.
And then you start from the tail and you cut into it and go along the backbone and
you
work
can.
Back. To the head of the fish to get the
well,
fillet
I go from the head to the tail. Just
oh,
cutting
you do
up.
From the head. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But I mean, you can do it from the tail to head. It's just whatever you're used to. But okay. I like going the other way because when I get back, I want to get as much meat as I can all the way back to the
Got
tail,
it.
And then cut that off.
Okay,
and then I'll flip him over and do the same thing there. Now, what you can do at this point, you can set the head aside, chop that part off, keep the heads. Put that into a soup and boil that up, and you can have soup out of it. Okay, so that's just an extra addendum.
My wife's not Filipino. We're not going there.
No. So now we've got two nice slabs of meat, right?
Right. We got.
My wife's from Jersey. I'd get kicked out of the house for that.
But yeah, that's and do all your mango snappers the same way, whatever you have, and then you're gonna have your ingredients already set aside because you've targeted this fish. And here's your ingredients. Now you got to pay attention here. You're gonna get a jar of roasted red peppers. A large plum tomato, and you're going to coarsely chop these.
Okay.
Two slices of stale bread, and you're going to tear it up. You're just going to tear it in little pieces, little chunks.
Little crumbs?
Yep.
Okay.
3 teaspoons of pine nuts that have been toasted. Now, you can use just literally any kind of nuts here that you like. Pine nuts are really good. 1 clove of garlic. You grate that or finely chop it, whichever way you like to go with that. You just want to get it real small, finely done. A little bit of fresh rosemary. Don't get the kind that's in the ingredients section. Don't do that. Go back there and get you some fresh rosemary. Your leaves, you want to finely chop that up. Your parsley, again, if you can get it fresh, anything that you can get fresh is better. The season rack is great,
okay.
But if you can use fresh seasoning, it's even better. Parsley, same thing. Dice it up pretty good. 2 tablespoons of your balsamic vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be some of your cooking. A quarter cup to a third cup, depending on how much you're using, of your extra virgin olive oil. So you can plus or minus that as you get to the cooking stage, depending on how much fish you got to cook.
Okay.
And then you have, I wrote this recipe out for 4 fillets of the snapper. Okay. So this is a 2 fish, 4 fillets.
Okay.
This is about how much you're going to be talking about. The end prize there is somewhere between 6 to 10 ounces of meat. Okay.
Okay.
Or of each. Okay. You're going to have salt and ground pepper sitting to the side because you're going to pop that on a little bit later as well. And then your flour. I like to use Hudson Cream flour. I have to get that from up north or special order from your Publix down here in Florida. But Hudson Cream flour is just a really fine, super nice, soft flour. It's just a beautiful flour to cook with.
Hudson Cream?
Hudson Cream. It is by far the best flour to use.
Okay.
I've used them all. You can make do with the other ones, but if I get the other ones, I sift it and make it a little bit more fluffy. Okay, Hudson Cream is perfect, just
okay.
The way it is. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to place the pepper and coarsely chopped tomatoes in a food processor with the bread, the pine nuts, the garlic, the rosemary, the chopped parsley, and the vinegar. and we're going to turn on the processor and steam for 1/4 to 1/3 cup of extra virgin olive oil to get a thick sauce. Okay? So you're going to get this going. You want this to kind of get thick enough. You don't want it runny. Okay, you don't want it pasty, but you don't want it runny.
Like the texture of what, like mayonnaise? I don't know why that just came or ketchup, like that type of, or thicker?
Boy.
is it more runny?
No, definitely not runny. You don't
more
want it runny.
Pasty.
Yeah, pasty.
Okay.
Pasty. Right. If you open up a can of tomato paste.
There we go.
You're opening up a can of something here, buddy. I'm telling you right now, there's a whole can of something going on.
Then you're going to take your 2 teaspoons of olive oil into a shallow sauté pan. And you're going to add your rosemary, and you're going to let the oil get nice and hot, right?
Are you a cast iron guy, or are you
I love cast iron, but not here. This one here, you want to use stainless steel.
Okay.
That's what I like to use for this particular recipe. It's just going to cook up a little bit easier. But I do love the iron skillet.
Okay.
You can probably do it in that, but I guess I learned from the best in Italy. This is what they use, so that's what I use.
Okay.
That's how they do it.
It's funny to say, when I went to Italy, the only thing I learned is they like to eat minnows. I mean, literally, they like to eat bait fish.
They do.
And there's these little live fish, and he's just eating them right out of the live well. You know, boom, boom, this is wonderful.
Oh,
following that by that thick red wine they drank and some really amazing booze. I mean, the wine was okay, but the booze was real good. The dead minnows, I ain't eating.
You and Pastor Donnie hung out in completely different areas.
Yeah, we
did.
You hung out in a much better area than I was.
Yeah.
I went to the chef. He went to the bar.
Actually, I was there selling fishing tackle, believe it or not.
Yeah, I can believe
but
that.
It wasn't definitely the class of people you were hanging out with. These guys eating dead minnows out of the live well, you know?
Now, what we're going to do, this is the final set of steps here. You take your snapper and you season it up with the salt, the peppers. You put the coarse skin, you're going to have it, you're going to put it down first in the hot grease. That's where the direction you're going to have that at. Okay? You take your flour and all that, you batter it up like you're doing a thin batter to it, a thin text to it. With the olive oil already in the pan, heat it up 7 to 8 minutes. You put it down there and you will notice this fish gets nice and crispy.
Okay.
It'll be white and flaky. You'll see that it's kind of like a golden brown texture to it. You're done. You do that on both sides. You let it sear on one side, flip it over to the other side. It's going to cook evenly, cook smoothly. It's not a very thick fish, so you don't have to have it, you know, the heat up too high. Don't go too crazy with it. You'll burn it. But just a nice even heat, somewhere probably around 7 on your cooktop.
You want like a nice bronze color on the fish?
Yeah, a nice bronze color. And you don't have to overcook this. Like I said, 7 to 8 minutes, you're going to be popping this thing. And then you just serve it. And what we like to do is you take that sauce, you take it a little later, put it out there on your plate, put this fish on top of it, and there you go.
Okay.
And that's how we serve it. Now, sometimes, in Italy, everything's about pasta. You got to have your pasta. So you can do some angel hair pasta off to the side, season it up with some garlic and butter, put that down there, put you some garlic knots off to the side, and you're just going to have a great meal.
Okay.
Wow. Great, great meal.
Good.
Wow.
That's that sounds really good. What's your favorite thing to use as a side? Or where does the pasty thing that you made in the food processor?
That's going to go right on top of your plate, and then you'll put your fillet of fish down there. You're going to put that on top of that. That's your fold, okay?
Okay.
So when you put your fish down, you put this on top of it. That kind of is your marinade, I guess, if
you
will.
There you go.
And that's going to be on top. And let me tell you something. It is really good. Now, me personally, it's not spicy enough. I like it a lot hotter.
Okay.
But when you're sitting out in restaurants, when you're sitting out with a family meal, a lot of times you don't want to burn your mouth.
Okay.
What you want to do is you want to just have the flavor popping.
Okay.
And so if I'm cooking it for me personally, I go a little bit hotter in it, and I put me some jalapeno sauce in there, some juice, and I get a little bit of heat going to it because I like to sweat a lot. I'm a big boy. I got to sweat a lot, Frank. You know?
Well, I'm doing a pretty good job. I haven't fixed the air conditioning in here, so I'm doing that right now. You don't have to give me any spices.
I wasn't going to say anything, but it is a little warm over here.
It's a bit warm in here. Yes, indeed, it is. By the way, what's your granddaughter's name?
My granddaughter is, her name's JC. She is my first. And so far,
hey, JC.
I've got another one on the way.
How are you?
She's 8 years old. You want to say hi?
Turn on mic 5 for a second.
And she has she has both enjoyed our fishing times together and the cooking time together.
Her mic is on, so let's...
All right, can you talk at that microphone there? Hey, do you like catching fish, JC?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what's the biggest fish you ever caught? Any idea?
Tell them about that big catfish.
I caught a catfish that's super big.
I love catching catfish. They're just the best, aren't they? They're awesome fish. Your grandpa's got to do a whole show sometime about how you cook catfish, because they're really good, aren't
Definitely.
They?
Definitely.
Have you eaten catfish before, JC?
Oh, yeah. Yes. We cook them up at the house.
She's caught two of them. All right.
You like eating those?
So what do we got left to cover?
Okay, so we talked about the ingredients.
Yep.
And, well, we described, you know, what type of pans you like to use and, you know, stainless steel.
Yep. On this particular fish, stainless steel, it does just make the cooking come out a little bit better.
And is it because also fish is sometimes can stick to the pan, or is that the olive oil that's preventing that?
The olive oil kind of helps prevent that a little bit. It's just the metal is a little bit thinner, so it heats up a little quicker. The iron skillet takes a little bit more time to heat up, but what's interesting about the iron skillet, it holds the heat a little bit more. The iron skillet, or the stainless steel skillet, it kind of cools down more quickly.
Yeah.
So you gotta be prepared for that too.
Gotcha.
So that's why that's the difference between your pans and how you're cooking, why you're cooking it this way, depends on what you're cooking and how you're cooking it. It's very important to do it that way.
Okay.
So your pans play a factor, and your utensils that you're using. We talked about before the show, I won't use certain wooden spoons on certain items I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I want to use a metal spoon with some holes in it. Sometimes I want to use straight wooden spoons. Sometimes I use a plastic spoon, like a scraper type deal. It depends on what I'm cooking, how I'm cooking it, and why I'm cooking it.
All right. Well, if we don't have too much more, JC, what's your favorite bait to use? What do you really like to use? What's your favorite bait?
Squid.
Squid.
Squid. Squid's your favorite? Do you like a big chunk of squid or a little chunk of squid?
Big.
Big.
Bigger the bait, the bigger
the fish.
The better.
the bigger the better. There we go.
Bigger the fish you get, right?
Gosh, all this talking about fishing, I mean, or cooking, and all this bait, now I'm thinking of calamari. So that may be.
Oh my goodness. We'll have to get into that.
We'll have to do a recipe on calamari too, man.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Now. Can this recipe be transposed to other fish, or is it just kind of a snapper recipe? Is it the only reason I'm asking is mangrove snapper to me has a little more wild flavor to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So I use with some fish, I'm using recipes that are very, very mild so that they don't cover up the flavor of the fish.
That's right.
And on other fish, they're more potent. So I'm using a stronger recipe like yours has the chili peppers and all that. That is usually for me something where I want a little a fish with more of a fish taste to it, not so much a fishy flavor.
Exactly.
But I want more flavor out of the fish. I want a stronger tasting fish.
Yeah. What I've found, and I love to cook for people, and we have a lot of people over to the house, you know, that we're cooking. When we do fish fries, we're probably cooking enough for anywhere between 20, 30 people, sometimes even 50. Mm. Okay. So the fish that we're cooking, it all depends on what we're cooking and how that environment likes it. Most of the old timers, they don't want it to be fishy,
right?
So they want me to dial that back, and that's the idea about the behind this recipe is dial it back.
Okay,
yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I'm salivating over here. That was a great recipe, Pastor Don. Can you go ahead and lead us into prayer?
Absolutely. Let's say grace, and we're going to be prepared to eat. Okay.
All right.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with our brothers and sisters here, Father. And Father, thank you for the wide variety of information that we get. Father, the opportunity to tell others about what we're doing, and Father, for the recipe itself, Father, we ask you to just bless our food, bless our drinks, nurse these things to our body, and let us never forget that there are many people doing without, Father, that we ought to be grateful for what we have, and that we also ought to lift up those without. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So hope you guys enjoyed the first episode of Cooking Fish.
I was going to say, I'm ready to eat.
Yep. I am starved, man. I cheated. I had some chicken nuggets, but now I'm eating.
Yeah.
Get the calamari out.
Calamari. Well, we didn't prepare calamari. We prepared mango snapper.
So if you want to have